Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So you got work tomorrow, Slee. A little San Diego run in you on Sunday.
Quick little one.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything quick. Good tonight?
Tonight, we're supposed to go grab dinner somewhere. She's got work till probably about like 5-ish.
Okay, that's not so,
so
bad.
So after that, we'll go get some dinner somewhere.
Do you have a place identified?
It's a place in Pasadena. I've talked about it before, called Noodle Street. Very casual, but very, very, very good Asian food.
Okay.
So we may go there. You know, it's one of those.
They have a bar?
Beer and wine.
Yeah.
So funny. We were talking about that yesterday, that place, the way it's not a place where you're going to and saying, I'm going to go get some drinks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot of places you're going specifically.
Yeah.
It might have a bar, even though they have good food, but, like, it's bar specific. That place you're primarily going because of the food. Kind of cool. They got the kitchen is all glass windows.
Oh, I like that.
So you see these guys making the noodles fresh and how they're doing. It's cool. Just the scene of watching
I'm okay. Like, the food sounds great, but I just, you know what? I need a drink. I want the food, but I need the. It's Friday night. I'm gonna need a drink,
so
and a beer and a wine's not gonna scratch that itch.
This is what we talked about yesterday. I'm like, well, why don't we just go get a drink?
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then go there. So I think that's what we're gonna do.
Jorge, what do you got going?
We got a birthday party to go to for one of our nieces, and then maybe I might go to the LAFC game.
Oh, on Portland, right?
Against Portland.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll see.
We're giving away some sweet tickets for that. So make sure you stay tuned.
Emily, what do you got going?
Say what's up, food?
Movie?
Kickball? So I'm moving on Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
So
this is
Sunday
it.
Is moving day, and my friends are going to help me a little
you
bit.
You got the chore monkey, right?
I'm actually not doing TaskRabbit.
TaskRabbit.
I'm having my friends come and help me.
You just make
They'll
that up.
They'll be my chore monkeys.
Chore monkey
could be, I see that as an app.
I'm not even kidding.
Like,
it's from The Simpsons. They call it chore monkey.
Okay, awesome. Great.
Yeah.
So I'm having some friends do that. But then, my roommate who's moving in with me, he lives in San Diego, so he's moving up from San Diego.
Okay.
But his friend, we're mutual friends, but I'm like as close with her, but it's her birthday this weekend.
Okay.
So he's going to come up, and he asked me, oh, do you want to go out on Saturday night? And I was like, I do not want
got
to move
Emily, look,
hungover.
I am not. I was just going to say, I am not your father.
Yeah.
You are a grown woman. You do whatever you damn well please.
Hell
that
no.
is a terrible idea.
Yeah,
like, I think there's probably very little things worse than being hungover moving out of your house.
One thing.
What would it be?
It's being hungover with really young kids. That's
that,
it's
yeah,
it's the true. Only thing that is worse than trying to do something like move
yeah.
when you're badly
so,
hungover.
So when I was in college, I
Jorge,
worked at
trust me on this one.
Dude,
have you experienced it yet?
Oh yeah, dad. Can
yeah.
we go, dad? Can you play with you? Dad? Yeah, hold on.
When I was in college, I worked at daycare, and I would almost exclusively work on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So,
oh, that's good.
It was oftentimes, it's not only that it's like my own kid walking through the door at 8 a.m. when I start my shift,
yeah.
it's 10 kids
no.
walking
oh
in at 8 a.m. And my only time, probably one of maybe a handful of times I've ever been late to work, was when I had gone out the night before and my alarm did not go off. I wake up in a cold sweat. I'm late for work. And so that I'm not only that I'm hungover, but I'm hungover, late, stressed out,
awful.
Going to care for
that's
kids
the,
for about 6 hours.
I already feel like whatever she was feeling.
That's an
that's
awful
an
cocktail
awful
because you're hungover. Now your adrenaline is spiked because
yeah.
you overslept and you're
yeah.
late. And now your anxiety because of all of this
I
other stuff.
I probably like didn't
eh.
shower. I probably looked disgusting.
Awful.
But shouts out to my workplace. It was always fun.
So the Lakers lose last night. The final score was not like a blowout or anything, but it sure felt like one. And because by, what would you say, Al, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, that thing felt like it was a wrap. And it's not like the Nuggets were ever up 25 or anything like that, but they were up 10, 12, 8, 10, 12. It just felt like the Lakers never really made a wrap. Even though Denver kept missing shots, Lakers weren't making any shots. And it's 3-0. A team has never come back from 3-0 in NBA history, so I understand what they're looking at, that maybe it goes 4, maybe it goes 5. I don't know, but that for all intents and purposes, it's over. I've never seen a team where it actually isn't over. Just basically say, yeah, it's over. Both through their play, their behavior, their interviews after the game, that every Austin Reeves, would you say, who's the assistant coach that he put his hand
Phil
on?
Handy on?
Phil Handy. Mm-hmm. It felt like a son and his dad, like, Dad, I don't know how to beat this guy. I don't know what else to try. I've never felt a series had been over when it actually isn't the way that it was last night.
Here are all the things that give us all the same feeling. Denver, the defending champs. How the hell are you going to beat Denver even just once? They're having that issue. They've lost 11 games in a row to this exact team. After they lost game two the way they lost game two, if there was a game to get, it felt like Jamal Murray ripped the soul out of the Los Angeles Lakers when he hit that fadeaway shot. Yesterday was...
Even from the beginning.
But yesterday was, when we were doing our predictions, you said Nuggets in five.
Yeah.
Right? I said Nuggets in six, a couple other people, you know, Nuggets, maybe Lakers go. I thought they were going to make it a series. I did not think this was going to be a sweep. But something I think happened yesterday that just gives you every indication possible that the Lakers are already done. And if something else happens, then something else happens. They don't believe they can beat the Denver Nuggets. I don't think the coaching staff believes they can beat the Denver Nuggets. I think the players are looking at the Denver Nuggets. Put them to the side. They're looking at each other and saying, I don't know what D'Lo's going to give me every night. Is Bron walking out there in your eyes and, guys, I got everybody's following me. That doesn't feel like it's happening.
You can't do it anymore.
The Lakers have three games so far this series where every second half when it starts, Lakers have a lead.
Yeah.
All Denver does is go make their adjustments. Do you think any of the players believe that the coaching staff is good enough to go take on Michael Malone? The crowd yesterday.
Yeah.
Felt like a regular season game yesterday. Okay, I get it. They start out 8-0. Okay, well, you're 3 minutes in the game. Is that that big of a
deal?
They
were up 20 in the third quarter a couple of days ago. I mean, there was none of it.
The post-game comments felt like the season was over. The energy felt like the season was over.
The play felt like the season was over. And you were at the game last night. I was watching it on TV, and first half ends. Lakers, they're up four at the half. I think it was four.
They're up four.
So they
should have been up 8 or 10, and Denver four. Gets a couple.
Because it was
buckets.
The exact same script we've seen in all these other games. It was exactly the same. So they go to the TNT halftime show, and you know Ernie brings it back in, and they cut to Charles, and Charles is like, the Lakers lost. This is over. Like, just very matter of fact.
While they're up.
Yeah, and he goes, it already looked like they gave up, I think is what he said. It already looks like they know that they can't win this series, and that's exactly what happened. Yep. And I think it's clarifying. It's a drag that they're going to get swept again, or because tell me if you think I'm right about this. It feels like tomorrow could get really ugly. Like, maybe Denver will do the thing where they take their foot off their gas a little bit. And
it's the only way the Lakers win the game.
But I think that more likely than the Lakers avoid a sweep is that the Nuggets win by 20 or more points. It just feels like, okay, let's just get the hell out of here. This is inevitable. Let's just let this go.
Do you think that team's fighting to go back to Denver?
No. It's clarifying that 2 years in a row, you've run into the best team. They've handled you pretty effectively. You know, they're 12 in a row if they win tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks for itself. But it's not just that. I think you've got clarity that you don't have the right head coach. I think you've got clarity that you don't have the right supporting cast. I think you've got clarity that your best guy, LeBron James, while still very, very good, does not have that, guys, we're okay tonight. I got this.
He's not supposed to.
He's not supposed to. That's not a criticism. That's just like the fact that he's 21 years in and still doing what he's doing is bananas. I think you've got clarity that of the 15 teams in the Western Conference, 7 or 8 of them are probably in a much better spot moving forward over the next 2 or 3 or 4 sure. or 5 years than you are. That Oklahoma City is going to be better next year than they are this year. Same for Denver. Same for Dallas. Same for Minnesota. Same for Sacramento.
New Orleans.
New Orleans
even
is
Sacramento.
Memphis
I think, would be better. Memphis.
There's
Spurs got Wemby.
I think the light is shining very brightly on all of the flaws on how this team is currently constructed, on how this team is currently coached, on how this team is currently managed. And you can't lie to yourself anymore. You can't lie. Hey, if just no. you're going to really have to take a hard look at what you have right now moving forward. And while it sucks, it's clarifying that there's no more lying to yourself. There's no more pretending that you're closer than you are. In fact, they're as far away from being a title team as it's felt since LeBron James got here. That he got here, they had young players, they had picks, there were players on the horizon, namely Anthony Davis, that you'd already kind of pre-identified as really good running mates for LeBron James. You had really attractive young players that other teams would like. LeBron James was 5 years younger. Like, there was a whole bunch of things that made, okay, we're on the right track, and they were. It's never felt further than it feels right now.
Yeah, and I'd rather know than not know.
Sure.
And I think at this point, at this stage, it's so obvious. It's got to be obvious to the front office. It's got to be obvious to everyone out there that whatever the game plan was, I mean, listen, could they have got, think about the last week of the regular season. It was basically how you're trying to dodge and avoid, which is fine. It happens in sports. If the, I look back
should
in
they,
the.
Should they have done that? Should, I mean, no, in retrospect.
No, to be honest with
you, still don't think so either, but it's more attractive today than it was a week ago.
It is, but I think it's, eventually, just like this series, it's going to be over.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Let me give you an example. Remember the year the Rams won the Super Bowl? And it was the Niners winning at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Got them the home game.
Yeah.
Right? Got them the home game. Sometimes things just happen. So you just take advantage of it. And I'm not a believer of, you know, let's lose this game.
Niners won in Dallas that year, too. They took care of business twice.
That's right.
They did it twice.
What they did.
Dallas and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Dallas and Green Bay. But I think for the Lakers, just give me that clarity. Let me know. I already know where this team is. I already know that why would next year be any better? I already know there's a lot of players. Let's use D'Angelo Russell as a perfect example. D'Lo, there was a report, Brian Windhorst put it out there, that there is a good chance that he's going to opt out of he has a player option that he's going to opt out. Cool. Sounds good. Let's just start. Whatever needs to be changed, start changing it. I don't think anybody wants to pretend that you can just run this thing back and something different's going to happen.
I love how you did that. I want to go through it. I want your reaction. I want you to put your, not your Laker fan hat on. Okay. I want you to put your Laker executive hat on and tell me what you think and what you hope for a handful of different players, executives, okay, et cetera, moving back. It. We'll do that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And maybe you'll see Jorge. If you call in right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You got a chance to win a four-pack of suite passes to LAFC against Portland. That is coming up tomorrow at 7:30. Caller number 7 wins right now, 877-710-ESPN. Call right now, Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know what I really like doing? Every time I see Brian Cohen, I like to give him the finger guns.
Bada bing.
Bada bing.
I love it.
Bada bing.
That's why I do it to Greg every morning. Yeah. I'm like, yo.
I feel like Isaac from the Love Boat.
Bada bing.
Me and Jorge and Brian tried to synchronize our yo's to each other without actually trying to do it. We got very close one time.
Like harmonizing almost?
The first time. As soon as he walks in.
Usually what Brian will do is he'll open the door and are typical, the three of us all say yo, but
yo.
At different times.
Okay.
And so a lot of times we try to match our yos together. Yeah. We've gotten close.
Breaking news brought to you by me. the sushi at Albertsons apparently is back today.
Oh, wow.
I got a text from somebody that was listening, and they're like, oh, no, I had it for lunch today. It's back. Love
Wow.
I can't wait. I can't wait. New vendor, very exciting,
okay,
grocery store sushi
update.
Okay,
but what if it's a bad vendor?
We're about, look, you'll know by 2:30. I will have informed the group.
I got a feeling if there's a sushi place that you've been going to since they closed this sushi place, I got a feeling that they upped their game a little bit. They knew that they got to up their ante a little bit.
I liked what they had.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're going to love it. I hope so.
Am I a salesman for Albertsons?
GM hat, Slee.
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell coming back to the Lakers this year. Does he opt in to his player option?
He's the Slee-M.
Yeah. You're the... Yes,
Slee-M of the Los Angeles Lakers. So I don't have a choice on this because it's a player option.
Okay.
But I will tell you what I'm hoping he does.
Sure.
I'm hoping he says no to the Los Angeles Lakers. He hits the open market. And I think he's got like a one-year, $18 million deal left. And maybe he can find himself a three-year, $32 million, you know, something like that, where he's saying, okay, let me just take the extra years, which is also going to get me extra money. I'm hoping if I'm Rob Pelinka, that's what happens. Now,
is D'Angelo Russell on the team next year? No.
I don't think he is.
No.
I don't think he is. I mean, I don't think he...
Do you think they wanted to keep him at the deadline, or they just couldn't find somebody that wanted him
I think
to take him?
It was so clear they were trying to trade him, but also understood everybody knows we're trying to trade him and probably we're trying to get fleeced. So I think the only reason why he ended up a Los Angeles Laker, and it's not to say that he didn't have a really good 3 months. He did. But I think if they could have upgraded in that position, maybe even knew that he was playing good enough that player option, you're trying to get value for a player that's still under your roster.
It's so weird. Weird's the wrong word. It's not weird.
I don't think he's a Laker next year.
He's exactly what he's always been. There are times where you're like, I think he's starting to figure it out.
Yep.
And then there are times like, no, he's not. Mm-hmm. No, he's not.
Immature still.
And it's the 10 years that he's been in the league or whatever it is. Maybe it's 9. I don't know. He's been telling you what he is. There are moments where it looks really good, but the totality of it is, on the whole, it's left you underwhelmed. It's underwhelmed. Does he stink? No, of course not. He doesn't stink. But is he a guy that you're dying to be hooked to long term? Absolutely not. Is he a guy that you can count on in big moments? Absolutely not. Could he show up and make a bunch of shots?
Of course he could. Yeah.
But I
can't. In game two.
I can't count on it.
Followed it up with 0 points yesterday.
All right, so... Darvin Ham, is he back next year? But dude, you just think he just your prediction, is he the head coach next year?
My prediction is no.
No. Is it a 100% no, or is there a world that exists where he's back?
Definitely a world that he exists, or that exists that he would be back. But my prediction is you've clearly lost the players. You've clearly lost the star player in Anthony Davis, whether they want to admit this or not, or somebody wants to walk it back. He did say after game two, there are stretches. We have no idea what we're doing on both sides of the floor.
Anybody leave the game last night thinking they know what they were doing?
No.
Exactly.
You got some of your guys that just the fight is done, and maybe that's just being discouraged of what you're watching on the other side. But no, I don't think he's the coach of the Lakers next year.
Do you think that there's somebody on the market that has been identified that you think would be the right fit?
No, I think what's going to happen, this is just the world we're in right now in the NBA. Coaches are getting, did you do well? Did you meet expectations? If not, you get canned. I think what will be interesting is what other teams might lose their head coach over the course of these next couple of months, right? Or even,
that's interesting.
Even coaches that are there that decide, I'd rather be there than be where I'm at. So I think there's a higher likelihood if Lakers are to replace Darvin Ham, they're probably replacing him with somebody that's already in the mix.
I get that, guys. You're so right that not everybody's going to set up shop like Greg Popovich. I understand that, right? Then not everybody's going to be Eric Spoelstra and grow old in the job. I understand that. But when you look at what they've done, what's this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that Darvin Ham would make 6, okay? Their last 6 coaches will have coached for a year, 2 years, 2 years, 3 years, 3 years, 2 years. That's fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fast. Steve Kerr's been in Golden State for a long time. They've been really consistent and steady. Michael Malone's been in Denver for
his
a long
ninth
time.
Year.
Consistent and steady. I mentioned Spoelstra, mentioned Popovich. And I said they're hard to find. I'm not saying that, but let it grow a little bit. That trust that you've made the right decision and stick to it beyond a, okay, that was bad, let's go in a new direction. At some point, you got to trust that you got the right person and ride it out a little bit,
what
don't
if
you?
They look as bad as Darvin Ham.
Pick another Darvin Ham.
But here's
Ham.
The problem.
You have to do better than that.
Trev, the problem is changing your coach is the easiest way that you could say it's his fault. It's a scapegoat. I don't know how much that's on us.
Yeah. Let's use Frank Vogel as an example. Okay, mm-hmm. Frank Vogel is not the second coming of Phil Jackson, but he's also not Darvin Ham. Okay, he's a good NBA coach. He won a championship. He's gotten hired as a head coach in multiple different places. He knows what he's doing. They fired him essentially because the Russell Westbrook thing went to hell, right?
Which had nothing to do with him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those times that I think if you are a leader, if you are somebody that has faith in what you are doing as a manager and both the people that you've hired to manage, you say, you know what? That was a bad season, but it's not because he's bad at a coach. It's because I gave him the wrong guy in this situation. We made a mistake there. We're bringing him back because he is a good coach, because I believe in what he does. That one's on me. We're going to keep it moving. And if it doesn't work again, then maybe you do it.
But that's the problem. Then you're admitting that's what the right front office should be doing. But then you're admitting your own guilt, and they have not. They're not admitting that.
It's
right. There is nope. That coach, move on. I don't know how much of this too is also the LeBron influence and everything else. But
again,
I agree.
Sure, and I'm not saying that LeBron doesn't get a voice, but it can't be, I want this guy out. Okay, cool. Bang, done.
Arguably,
you have to push back at some point, mm-hmm. or at least postpone.
I'm going to say I don't think Darvin's here next year.
LeBron James.
Executive or Alan Sliwa?
Both.
Executive?
Sliam.
I think he will be here. Alan Sliwa, if he opted out of that contract and decided to go somewhere else, might be best for everybody.
What if he opted out with the hope that the Lakers were going to extend him and they just say, look,
I don't think he'd opt out unless he knew
he knows it's waiting.
That was a Clipper, no arena.
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
I almost feel 100% sure that he's coming back.
I'm like 95. I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. I think that they would get lucky if he decided that he wanted to go somewhere else. I think that's what needs to happen. So because he's still such a good player.
Sure.
And he's still such an important part of your identity, of your business, of all of these things, that you can't move on from him of your own free will. You can't say no. And I understand it's player option. With the understanding. But you can't go to him and say, listen, we would like to move on from you. It needs to be his decision to move on. They're not going to... He's going to break up with them. They're not going to break up with him.
Yeah.
The breakup needs to happen. Not because he's not a good player. Not because he can't be exciting to watch. But until that's over, I can't move on to the next thing.
And I think there's a few teams dealing with none of them this big of a star. But I think there's a few teams right now in the NBA dealing with that. Kevin Durant, LeBron James. Steph is a different one, even though let's not forget, Steph's 35.
Yeah.
So it's not like Steph is, you know, a young player as well.
The difference being, Steph is a legend on the team that he's on, mm-hmm. right? He is family. He is their Magic Johnson. Sure. He is their Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
Right?
No, you're right. He's their Dirk.
He's not
their,
going anywhere. Yeah. You're not moving on from him. Mm-hmm. LeBron's not. Kevin Durant's not. Not in Phoenix and not in L.A., you know what I mean? Like you can make a tough business decision with the coach. I'm not saying it's easy, but you can't move on from Steph. You know what I mean? Like you can't do that.
I think the franchise, I'll go back to what I think is going to happen. They'll stay all in. They'll probably go big fish hunting again. Big game hunting again. Don't be surprised if it is a Trae Young. Don't be surprised if it is a player like that. Don't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I thought I saw something at some point.
I wouldn't be surprised, Al, but I would absolutely hate it. I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm just telling you, even preemptively, I do. Trae Young is the classic losing player. Does he do cool stuff that you see on your phone? Oh my God, he made a 40-footer. Yeah, cool. Are there nights where he goes nuts and drops 50? Sure. See, he's just not that guy.
Can I tell you why Atlanta will probably trade him? Other than the things that you just said, I think they were trying to make a decision between DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. And I think at the trade deadline, it was, what can we get for DeJounte Murray? And if somebody gave them just a stupid offer, they would have taken it.
Yeah.
If they didn't, I think they're trading Trae Young this summer. That's why I think it's going to happen.
You know what that sounds like? I'm not even a plan. Hey, well, we'll dangle this out here. If we get it, great. We get the, but if it doesn't, we're actually going to move this thing over here.
Because they could have easily traded DeJounte Murray, got a haul back, and then traded Trae Young.
Hot and Cold's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, guys, who's hot is going to be...
Aloha.
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 Buenos días.
Buenas tardes.
Buenos días.
So Tony. All right, so who's hot is Charles Barkley on the post-game show yesterday. So Charles Barkley had they are almost acting like they got eliminated, two parting shots towards the Lakers and LeBron James. So this first one is Charles being a little peeved about how long they were waiting for the show because LeBron did not get out of the shower. So this is Charles Barkley on the post-game.
There were 130 paint points between two teams tonight, just 30.
What's
from
wrong?
Three-point land. What's up?
Are we just going to stay on TV till LeBron come out the shower?
No, we've got
we got stuff to do.
We like Shaq.
It's 1:19.
Like Shaq and a fool.
Are we just going to sit here until LeBron? LeBron, get your ass out the shower.
And I know we've all worked a post-game show in our times, and we all have the same feeling of we're waiting this long. But again, I know that they can do that. And then here's additionally Charles Barkley taking shots at anybody who thought the Warriors and Lakers had a chance this season, probably also because he had to stay up till 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. for all those games. All right, here's Charles.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say all you people who've been kissing up to the Lakers and the Warriors all year, talking about they going to make a run. You know where they going to run their ass to? The Bahamas, Saturday, Sunday morning.
All right, so Charles Barkley was hot, feeling himself after the Lakers were nearly eliminated.
And accurate.
I was going to say, he's right across the board on all of this stuff. My goal in life is to be Charles Barkley in a very specific way.
Okay. Say whatever you
just,
want.
I don't give a damn what you do to me. I don't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's on my mind. And you know what? I'm done waiting. I'm leaving.
Those late pressers are brutal, too.
Mm-hmm. He could have gotten up and walked out. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's Charles Barkley.
Well, that's one of his things, right? Every time they start the post-game show on these West Coast games, and, you know, Ernie will say something like, all right, it's this time. And he's like, we're out of here in 30 minutes. Let's get this done. Let's wrap up the highlights and everything else. Yeah, those pressers.
They haven't moved them to the West Coast at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. To get into the full chalk talk, it seems like that show would be easier to do on the West Coast.
It's at least during the playoffs.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Just where you're going to have West Coast start times the entire way.
Does Barkley live in Atlanta, too?
Phoenix, I think.
He lives in Phoenix. Yeah.
Oh, so he's just going out.
I think the latest I ever stayed The latest I've ever been was, it was in fact this football season. I was at Colorado, Colorado State. It was 1:45 a.m. local when Deion got into that room.
I remember that.
Oh, that was that overtime? Yeah, that was
overtime. It was ridiculously late. I mean, yeah. I could barely talk. Won. It was awful. Yeah.
It started late, went late. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the whole thing.
I remember, I mean, again, I used to do overnights when I was at Bristol, but one day where I wasn't doing it overnight, but I had to, what the job was, you basically stay until the last game you're assigned to ends. And so the last that season, it was the Nuggets Blazers 4 overtime
game
that I had to stay for. That was, I think, till 3 in the morning on East Coast time. And one was when I think it's the same season but different time. I had stayed for a baseball game that I had to finish up getting stuff for. But then
Twins Royals.
But then Kawhi Leonard ended up signing with the Clippers at 2 a.m. East Coast time. And so it had to scramble to
Kawhi had a thing when he first came to the Clippers. I don't know if you guys remember this. I met a lot of reporters complaining about this. He would do a full treatment after the game. And then he would do his media availability. So you had literally,
I would hate that.
Clearly, 1 hour past is when he would eventually talk.
What I love and miss about staying late for these post-game Laker ones or even those playoff ones is when you go home after, 1:30 in the morning and you stay 10 minutes in your car to decompress.
Exactly right. Exactly.
I'm missing out on something. That must be like a spa that I'm unaware of hitting.
All right, so what's cold is Joel Embiid. So Joel Embiid just had one of the most egregious plays on another player last night and did not get ejected. Do you guys think he should have been?
Yes.
I wouldn't have minded it. I'm not huge on throwing guys out of games, but it was pretty bad.
I'm a big Embiid fan. It's a dirty play.
Yeah.
Just no other way to put it. It's a dirty play.
And he tried to explain it away by saying that he would have landed on my knee if he would have landed. And then, I've had this issues in the past, but
And Mitchell Robinson's a player that was injured already this year, missed a lot of games. I don't want to see it. I hated seeing that.
I understand that star players play by different rules, and I'm okay with it. If you're a star player, you've earned it. Then there's that point of, listen, if a star player gets away with that, we've set a standard that doesn't even make any sense.
Good point. I mean, to be fair, the standard we've set with people like, other players, including some who play in Golden State, is already pretty low. You know what I mean? That's kind of the issue with what you're saying.
It reminds me of last year when Draymond, pushed off of Sabonis when he was on the ground. But it's all these things. You want to protect players. You don't want to get players injured. Even if it's, quote-unquote, inadvertent.
Went off last night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embiid?
Yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with what he's experiencing, Bell's palsy, which I've had friends that have experienced that before, and it's always a little scary, but, props to Embiid for playing through that. But, you got to play clean, and you can't injure other people.
No, I hated it. Yeah, I hated it. I just hate it. It was dirty play, and I genuinely enjoy watching Embiid play. I hated it.
You know how I think everybody kind of landed in the same spot? Had he gotten kicked out, I don't think everybody's jumping up and down saying, what the hell did you just do?
And anyone complaining about it, I'd just say, ask him not to do that.
But there's always that, listen, you got to keep the stars in the game. You can't kick it. But it was one of those, he had no choice.
Sure.
What do you want me to do? I can't pretend I didn't see that. Occasionally you can say,
look the other way a little bit.
It's borderline. It's whatever it is, but that is certainly not what that is. What brings you by, Mr. Yates?
What's going on, Yates?
I heard there's a local basketball professional team that's playing and can't seem to win a game in a series. And just brought me back to what I've thought for a long time about this team, which is, the issue with, I think, what this franchise has done is that they've convinced their fans that their methods of operation, no matter what, just plain make sense. And in the last, I'll say 10 years, you've seen the NBA sort of democratize itself in ways that it never has. You've seen the level of skill in front offices grow exponentially in terms of how teams build, not only for 1 year, but for another. And it just kind of feels like the Lakers are that dude still rocking the hairstyle from high school that was cool because they've never gotten out of their method of operation. You know what I'm saying? And so, the idea of, we'll pluck a star from somewhere. We'll put people around him. The coach won't matter that much. Yo, buddy, that's not really how NBA teams who win run themselves now. And if I were a big Laker fan, I would be demanding a lot more out of, frankly, the ownership of the team, just in terms of, hey, Okay, there was one bubble championship. Okay, there was the LeBron James experience, but like the sustainability is not there.
I think you'd be surprised that there are a lot more Laker fans that are upset with how the Lakers grow their roster, how they compete for championships, what's happened over the last 10, 12 years. I think you'd be surprised.
Sure.
Maybe it doesn't sound like it, but Travin, you could tell me what you think on this. I do feel like there are a lot of Laker fans that are, hey, so what's the plan exactly? So what's all right, so we're going to do this, and then what happens after that?
Laker fans fall into two very distinct categories, the rational and the irrational.
Sure.
The rational ones, I think, are what you're talking about, Al, but I think there's just as many in a row. Well, we're the Lakers. Just go get players. No, man. It's the entire decision-making apparatus doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. And if I were, you know, knighted for a day and say, you get to make the decision, I would call Sam Presti. What do you want? Okay, cool. I'm going to give you twice that. Come on in. What's my first move? Take me through this. And I'm listening. I'm going to be involved, but I'm not. Who has done the thing? Who has built the thing?
Do you know that Not to Jerry Buss.
Yeah, but okay, but see issue.
But that's the point. My point is that Dr. Jerry Buss went out and got the best.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. And he was fortunate that many of the best were already in the building.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to turn to Jerry West and say, "What do you think?"
He was down the hallway.
There's not a Jerry West in the building right now. Mm-hmm. There's not somebody there that has the, "Hey guys, to Clinton's point, the league is moving in a different direction. We're not moving along with it. Right. I have a feathered haircut in 2024. What are we doing here? I've got a mullet in 2024.
Yeah. Everything comes back to style.
It was cool in 85.
Right.
But it's not. I got a Camaro with the the Edelbrock intake. So it's like, okay, cool. People are driving Teslas now. What are we doing?
And that's why I the part of me that sort of feels bad for a certain type of Laker fan, the rational one, who looks at this and says, well, if they're so in love with their own process, what's going to be the impetus to change here? And it's tough to find one. And so I'm not going to say you got lucky with LeBron, but it was certainly fortunate that LeBron wanted to be in this franchise.
He's
when
the great eraser.
Along.
He's the great eraser that he can fix almost everything, but he can't do it anymore.
Right. And now you've got a decision to make. Yeah. And so I think that there is a process happening over the next five seasons for the Lakers where not only do they have to make the right decisions as a franchise, but they've got to make them in the right order so that they don't sabotage the previous moves.
Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by NextGen, the official AC, heat, and plumbing company. And SoCal sports fans, call 833-3-NEXTGEN or visit nextgenaaronplumbing.com. Very quickly before we move on to the dump here, surprise, not surprised that Bill Belichick's good at TV.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
I'm a little surprised.
I was too.
A little surprised, yeah.
I'm surprised we got it during the draft, yeah. But I'm not surprised that he's a character and a half.
Game day last year when he did the Navy one.
But that Nick Saban's good at TV, not even a little bit surprising to me. Nick Saban gives you just enough personality to go, he's holding back on me.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like when he showed up to do his college game day stuff, when he would show up to do his I was almost called it the BCS, the college football, like you're like, oh, he's funny, and he's edgy, and he's opinionated. Belichick, I just thought, was just this ogre who sat in a dark room looking at film.
I had a little bit of that.
Then he came out.
Listen, the only clips I'm watching of him is in a post game or a pregame, and they're
he was really good at it.
I always got the energy
he was
from
really
Belichick.
Good at it.
Belichick was the uncle that would let you cuss around him when you were a kid. That's the energy I got from Belichick. So I knew when he was in a big spot, you were going to get a good one.
The Dubs coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, so let's start with this.
Aloha.
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 Buenos dias. Buenas
Aloha.
Tardes.
Buenas tardes, Jorge.
Feliz viernes.
What's the Spanish equivalent of TGIF?
Gracias a Dios, que es viernes.
There you go.
There you go.
The NBA and Amazon Prime have a framework of a deal that will make streaming will make the streaming service one of the main homes for the league games. Executive with direct knowledge of the talks told The Athletic, the anticipation is that the final contract will be for at least a decade and begin with the 25-26 season. So that would be the season after next season.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of ways to look at this. And I'm curious this because as the old person of the group, I think that I am the person that would be the least likely to be on board with something like this as somebody who grew up with, you know, network TV, A, and then B, cable/satellite TV, and streamers are relatively a new thing. And Is this even news anymore that Amazon and Apple and Netflix and these people are going to be involved? Of course they are. Like, just because it's a streaming service doesn't even sound unusual or new to me. It's all the money.
Can I give you an example of one? And I think the one that caused the most emotion most recently is when the NFL carried the game on Peacock.
Okay.
And you had to pay. Basically, you had to have a subscription to Peacock. An NFL playoff game, everybody, you know, there was a good amount of noise of like, what the hell is going on here? You know what happened? People bought it.
Yeah.
You know what happened after that? Most people didn't cancel it. You know what every other network then decided, and every other streaming platform? And this was already going down that road anyways. I think now it's much more normal, and in a year it will be more normal. Mm-hmm. And in 5 years, this is how it is.
Okay. I know this is like a cliche or whatever. I'm old enough to remember when. Okay. When Monday Night Football left from network television, ABC, and went to ESPN, cable television, and it went behind for, you know, it's not the same, went behind a paywall. You had to buy cable TV. You couldn't just plug your TV into the wall, turn it on, and get Monday Night Football anymore. You had to buy a cable/satellite. People lost their minds. And I remember thinking, guys, and it, because of my age, I remember thinking, who doesn't have cable? Well, I was wrong. A lot of people didn't have cable. I think that there are a significant amount of people who don't have all these streaming services, but it's going to be like ESPN having Monday Night Football, that's where it is now. And you can either get it or not. And when it comes to football, when it comes to live sports, it's really the only thing that we're all watching in real time.
I think that the thing that would make people a little hesitant is if this means that, I think what's going to come down with the NBA is that it's going to be like two main powerhouses in charge of the broadcast, like it is now, which is ESPN and TNT.
Mm-hmm.
And that if one of those fall out in this negotiation and get replaced by Amazon and it happens to be TNT, does the TNT inside the NBA crew stay with Amazon?
Will land wherever that thing goes.
They will be very happy to accept the paycheck coming from Amazon.
Yeah, that the show will follow the league. Yeah. This idea that, well, it's on a streamer. Yeah, okay. Who, like, nobody cares anymore, right? We're all good.
It's not big deal.
We're all good.
I mean, listen. I think everyone would agree with this. I'm sure there's much easier ways that hopefully in the next couple of years. Because there is something of, you know, you had a remote and you just went like this and you went to channel 3 and you went to channel 28.
You're right. But to flip over from cable to satellite, what is it, 10 seconds, 20 seconds? Are we really that? I mean, so we got to cut 15 seconds out of that?
Okay, you have to tell my mom and dad what their password is every time they try to log into these things.
And then you got to scan your phone to then connect it to this. And yeah, there's a lot going on.
I didn't consider this, the stress on the younger generation of having to log into their parents' Peacock account.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. A lot of times, sometimes I'm doing this too, but it's like, my dad asked me what his Apple ID password is. I have no idea. I didn't set it up, Dad. Like, this is the burden you guys have on us.
That's very funny.
Figure it out, Em.
The Chargers drafted Joe Alt with the number 5 overall pick. That was a name that I thought the Rams may be targeting. I thought that Jim Harbaugh
to move up.
Yeah, because that on the Rams' offensive line, 4 of their 5 positions are kind of locked in and pretty good players, that the left tackle was the one spot that they needed. I thought that was interesting. Jim Harbaugh kind of answered the question before it was even asked. He goes, I know they're going to ask about weapons because all of these guys have moved on to other places, whether it's Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, Mike Williams, that they need weapons. And he said, we consider offensive line a weapon. It's the most it's the most Jim Harbaugh line ever.
Hey, it's not sexy, but it's effective. That's all that matters.
If there is a sexy offensive line position, I guess it is left tackle. Yeah. I guess that's part of it.
They're the second highest paid position group on the field after quarterback.
Yeah.
John, you were sold Fugazi yesterday. You were listening to Travis.
I'm just glad I finally convinced you of something,
that,
John.
Hey, let's go all in, move up in the draft, the Rams, that they're going to go get another offensive player. Yeah. They stay at 19.
Total bullcrap.
Just
right,
Fugazi.
All that late minute.
I don't think
going
it was
offense,
bull crap.
They're going offense.
No,
they're going
they
offense.
I think they talked to Atlanta and they tried to move.
I do too. I think the price was too high and they didn't want to do it. I think they tried and they just couldn't make a deal.
The question is, who were they trying to move up for?
Bowers is my guess.
Yeah, Bowers.
Bowers is my guess.
Well, here's I'm a Raider fan and here's the problem with Bowers. I love that pick. Mm-hmm. Great. They stole him. I texted this to Mason last night. everybody to throw him the ball.
That's exactly right. We're,
Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are not elite NFL quarterbacks.
Everybody does.
Brock Bowers could be great. We have the exact same issue with Davante Adams.
Exactly.
Davante Adams is great. We don't have anybody to throw him the ball. And now, by the way, we don't have anyone to run the ball. They let Josh Jacobs walk.
When you look at the winners and losers that always comes out the morning after the draft.
No.
Brock Bowers showed up on a lot of the losing lists, not because he's not a good player, but because of what you just said.
Because of where he went.
You should have. Don't draft a guy who's dependent on the quarterback making you a good player.
Who was on the board? Only Knicks at that point? Because Penix went early.
Knicks was already gone.
Was Knicks gone?
Because the Raiders took 13.
When they took Bowers?
Yeah.
All the quarterbacks were gone. The quarterbacks went 12.
They were 13.
Yeah, but I mean,
I always thought the Rams were going defense, and I put out four names and said they're taking
one of them. He made like 60 grand in mythical
You had
money.
Jared Verse as
I
one of
Jared
your picks.
Verse. Yes,
you were one of them. I thought for sure they'd go offense. I thought for sure they'd double down on what they do well.
Travis
I thought for sure they moved up. They went chalk on defense.
Right. By the way, the whole. You know, there was very, aside from Atlanta, it was all very chalky. You look at those mock trades,
pretty predictable.
It's hard enough to do a mock draft, let alone guess who might trade for what.
The one team that moved up was the Vikings, right? And I didn't think they had to give up very much.
They didn't, but it was expected they would because they like kind of ID'd McCarthy as their guy.
Right, but I'm saying the Jets had that pick.
Yeah.
I thought the Jets could get more than a fourth and a fifth rounder.
I guess you get what you get, right? I mean, they're
only moving down three spots.
Yeah, I'm sure they shopped it. Other than Atlanta, okay, so let's do this. Let's do a little super crosstalk.
Bonk.
Bonk. Woo-woo. Woo-woo. Yeah, okay, so we're going to get to the Lakers here in a second.
Yeah.
What the hell with the Atlanta Falcons yesterday?
Yeah, that's so weird, right?
It's so
They just made that enormous investment, and now?
A month ago.
Yeah.
They gave $100 million guaranteed a month ago to a quarterback, and then they drafted a quarterback who's
top 10.
Had two knee surgeries.
And he's 24.
He's 24. Yeah, he's had a shoulder surgery, and he's a guy that kind of needs to start playing right away for the age factor, for everything. What? Somebody explain this to me. What part of this component am I missing?
You're not missing anything. It was a boneheaded play. And I heard somebody say, trying to explain away what Atlanta did, they said, well, they're doing what Kansas City did a few years ago. They had Alex Smith as a successful quarterback.
No.
And they drafted Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback of the future. Alex Smith had 1 year left.
Right.
Right.
You just gave Kirk Cousins $100
million. 4 years, $100 million guaranteed. $180 million of it guaranteed.
They must love Penix. They must love the guy.
Yeah, but
they must think he's the next thing.
Okay, yeah, fine. But why then Whiteside kind of
Cousins? Only one guy plays.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes zero sense.
Cousins got screwed in this deal. Penix got screwed in this deal. Yep. And Raheem Morris, who I know you like as much as I do, Mace, he got screwed in this deal. Because Cousins has a couple of bad games.
Yeah.
And it's, all right, when are you going to make
Let's
the move?
See Penix.
Or he's doing okay. It's like, why did you burn a pick on a guy that's not going to play forever?
They have some decent offensive weapons down there. And you know, they got Bijan Robinson down there now. Yep. They got, who's the wide receiver from USC that they have that they like?
Drake London.
And they have Cousins. I thought, okay, they're going to be able to score points and move the ball. That's a team that could have taken Latu.
And
all of a sudden, Latu drops to the Colts. And
Latu fell. I was surprised Latu lasted that long.
He was the first defensive player taken, so he didn't fall that far. It was just nobody wanted defensive players.
Right.
And he's got that neck thing.
And I think it was 15th he went to the Colts.
Sounds right.
14 straight offensive picks. That's never happened before.
It's the most offensive players taken in the first round ever.
Yeah.
Of the 32 first-round picks, 23 of them were offensive
players. You know what the message is? If you can score, you can survive a mediocre defense.
You got a chance. Yeah. Absolutely. So Al and I have spent the vast majority of today talking about what happened last night.
Exactly.
We were talking Knicks Sixers. We didn't bring up
Knicks
the Lakers.
Sixers, yeah.
Can I tell you something I completely disagree with you two about? Trav, you really would have thrown Joel Embiid out of a playoff game?
I think
it's a dirty play.
I think
it is pretty dirty play.
I don't disagree with
that.
He
literally grabbed the guy's leg and pulled him down.
It was one of those plays, John, that it's almost I would try to do everything I can to keep a guy in the game, but that was one that's like I can't pretend.
I almost think he was trying to get thrown. It was so weird. And he's got a lot going on. I mean, he talked about having Bell's palsy, which I had a long time ago, and is scary as hell.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Yeah.
What is that?
It paralyzes your face.
Paralyzes one side of your face. Yes, just your face. One side of your face gets paralyzed because the optic nerve gets occluded.
And so Mason had this for, what, about 6 weeks?
Yep.
And his face was a mess. I mean, he looked like a guy that was paralyzed. And I felt so bad for him because we were on TV back then. We were doing the show on Fox Sports West 2,
sure,
which is now Prime Ticket. And so Mason gets through it. It was awkward, but he gets through it.
Yep.
And about 3 weeks later, he comes in. And I don't know how you did it, but he was able to fake it. And he goes,
"Oh, man.
Arlen,
it came totally back."
And I went, "Oh, my God, I'm crushed. I'm so sorry, man. I can't believe it came back." He goes, "I'm just messing with you."
Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
How could you fake? And then you did that.
I don't know. It's just...
He just pretends he's drunk.
By the way, Bell's Palsy's terrible.
Can I ask another stupid question?
Mace, it just goes away.
It just goes away.
Do you treat it with medicine or treatment or anything?
It just shows up and goes away just because?
Shows up, what? Goes away. Nobody actually understands this thing. For some people, it can last for years or can be permanent.
Oh, no.
So, it's a scary thing. And I tried steroids. I tried acupuncture. I tried... Oh, God, this was the stupidest. So there's this. I was like, this was a witch doctor. He put like a piece of tinfoil on my face, and then he put a little something on the tinfoil. Then he'd light it on fire and go poof.
You sure you just didn't go to a magician?
No,
were you at the magic castle? Yeah.
It would just go poof,
and
on
then
my
a
face,
pigeon
and
like, came out.
Right, I was like trying any Chinese herbs, and I mean everything. But so he's got a lot going on. I get it. You can't. That's one of the dirtier plays in a while.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
John, let me flip it on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Had he gotten kicked out of the game, mm-hmm. okay, had they made the opposite decision, do you think there's...
I would have criticized it.
You really would have?
You think the masses would
you
have?
You really
I don't
would have?
The masses would have been okay.
No, I think so, too.
Probably, but let me take it a step further. I would never give a player a technical foul unless he put his hands on me.
Yeah.
There is nothing you could say to me, no matter how disrespectful or offensive, that would get me to stop the game because you're being an idiot.
I'm okay with... I don't agree with that, John, but I understand that.
They're following Adam Silver's orders. No. I mean, these are Adam Silver's orders. They have coaching of the officials.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sure that this is something that
Initiatives
the league
from
wants.
The NBA, yeah.
It, to me, and I keep trying to get people to understand this, the league... is an entertainment product.
Sure.
Anything that takes away from, and you can apply this to any sport. You can apply it to Major League Baseball, NFL, anything that takes away from the entertainment of it. Now, I understand that sports are not pro wrestling and these games are real and you have to manage them.
And there's a
having
safety
said
issue too.
Having said that, if it takes away from the entertainment of the game, don't do it.
Yeah, well, that's what you should say to Joel Embiid.
Right.
It's taking away from the entertainment of the game, so don't grab some guy's leg and pull him down.
What I would have done, this is where I would come over to your side, Trav. Had Mitchell Robinson had to be removed from the game because of that injury, then I'm okay with Embiid throwing out. But if Mitchell Robinson's fine and he's staying in the game, I hit Embiid with a flagrant one and I fine the crap out of him for that. I fine him $1 million. All right.
If you want to fine him huge, okay.
That's
but there's a safety issue that if all of a sudden I know that the only way I'm getting tossed
is if somebody got injured.
If I break a guy's leg,
right.
That seems like you're
it's
setting
like you
a very
should not
dangerous
have,
precedent.
You cannot have immunity from everything you do on the court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was one of those that.
I mean, it's just a stupid
he's,
play.
He's got to
go. But, I mean, we're dodging the biggest story of the day, which is it's
Dodgers
all over.
Dodgers Nationals?
Yeah, Dodgers National.
I thought you were talking about the trailer that dropped for Clipped because I can't wait.
It looks good.
My God.
I can't wait.
Okay, we are doing very good deflecting the game from yesterday. This
well,
is good.
I have a feeling
you guys will get to it.
You'll
get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That trailer for Clipped has me so interested.
Really?
And I'm going to tell you, I just saw Clinton in the hallway. Have you guys heard Clinton host ESPN Daily?
Mm-hmm.
He's great at it. And the other day he had Ramona on, and they got me all kind of in the mood for it. And now that I saw
the clip
trailer and how much those people look
the
like him.
The casting's amazing.
Like, Jackie Weaver looks exactly
Jackie
like Shelley
Weaver.
Ed O'Neill.
Ed
O'Neill
looks
just like Shelley. And he sounds like him.
Lawrence
Fishburne is Doc.
Right.
He's inspired.
When the first I saw Ed O'Neill as Sterling, or in the trailer, it jumped off the screen. I mean, I don't know if it's because it's in the first shot or whatever, but the way that they had like the liver spots on his hands, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's amazing. They make him look like this decrepit, ancient, senile, loony old man.
All
instantly.
True, by
yes.
the way.
And that's what yeah. I mean. And it's like, you don't see Al Bundy. You don't see the guy from Modern Family. You see Donald, addled-minded Sterling ranting really and raving good. And looks how really big good. Is your wingspan? Yeah. It's like, oh, my plus, let's go.
You know, the poster art by itself, which is V. Stiviano's hand holding a couple of balls.
With long fingernails with long painted fingernails. Red and blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's genius because what they're doing is they're turning it into something that's got some sizzle to it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's gonna
By
be
the
great.
Way, none of that stuff in the trailer is made up.
I know.
I mean, we used to joke that the Clippers locker room and the Clippers media room was called Club Sterling because all of his friends would come in there. And there's a line in that trailer where they say, well, our fans are used to having a certain amount of access. It wasn't a certain amount of access. It was 100%
access.
Full access. If you were friends with Donald Sterling, you were welcome to walk into the shower. I'm not kidding. Hey, Don, can
what?
I go to the locker room? Sure. Go on in there, blah, blah.
Take a peek at Old and Polonese.
It was the weirdest. He's the weirdest dude
okay.
I think I've ever been around.
With that in mind, and this is probably a conversation that we're not going to fit in the next couple of minutes, but how in the world did the NBA let it get as far as it did with him prior to having somebody
answer.
On tape, him saying the horrible, vile, disgusting things he said, where now I've got no choice. Now I have. How did they not
they
realize?
They didn't have a smoking gun. It's the same reason he was allowed to own properties in Los Angeles that discriminated against minorities for 30 years. The minorities would say, he threw me out because I'm black. And Sterling would say, no, I didn't. I had somebody
right,
to
John,
pay
I'm going
a
by memory
rent.
Here on a little bit, so I'm not going to hang my hat on this for sure. I'm fairly certain Donald Sterling was convicted of housing violations, like in
yeah.
a court of law where the government said, you can't do this.
And
you
he
can't
just paid the fines and,
kept
and
he
going.
Kept, he kept going, but it wasn't just as he said, I said, it was the government, the court saying he is a discriminatory landlord who will not rent to...
Well,
you know,
and
blacks
remember,
and Koreans
you,
and all these other things.
You remember what he did in terms of marketing? Back
By
when
the LA
everybody
Times,
read
right?
the LA Times.
Come yeah. see the other, oh, the Sterling
no, no,
Night
no.
Out.
No, it would be Donald Sterling charity event coming up,
yep.
and there'd be a picture of Donald Sterling, and next to him, seven black people that all worked for him.
It'd be like the
Elgin
entire
Baylor. Tanisha,
back
who I work
page.
With now at the Lakers, was joking about this a couple weeks ago when I saw her. Denise, the community relations girl, black girl. All So it would be a picture of Donald, with seven or eight, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, seven or eight black. And look, you would have looked at these ads and said, wow, Donald Sterling does a lot for the black community. He was
But
against,
the league had to know he didn't,
but,
right?
Look,
they couldn't prove Trav, the answer to your question is there was no smoking gun. They couldn't prove it. What V. Stiviano gave them was a smoking gun.
Although we all knew.
Everybody
knew.
We all knew. You all knew, but you couldn't prove
right,
it.
Right, we couldn't prove. We all knew he was a racist. We all knew it. It was all out there. But nobody really.
So they were just waiting him for
it.
Him to say what he said about Magic. They were just waiting
Until
for him
to
say what
to.
He said.
Trav, I was at a Clippers Christmas party one year. I worked for the Clippers for 3 years.
Right.
I was at a Clippers Christmas party, and Lamar Odom walked in, and Donald Sterling grabbed him by the arm and said, "Look at this black body. Look how tremendous this is. He's a specimen. Look at this. Grab his arm." And he's telling these old women that are friends of Shelley's to grab Lamar Odom's arm like he's an animal in
so
a zoo.
So why is that not enough for people to call him on it? There was evidence of this.
So, but
if
people, not on video.
People witnessed.
I wasn't, yeah.
But there were witnesses. Who you witnessed it.
Right, but all the people in the room
what if Lamar,
worked for him.
What if Lamar
You didn't.
Odom,
I did.
Oh, you did.
How do you think I got invited to the party?
Right,
but,
you did
okay,
they're
going to
show the white party in clip.
Yeah.
And think about that. Donald Sterling, the most racist guy in L.A., hosting a white party every
yeah.
year.
But what if Lamar Odom or another player who was
sure.
treated like this
went
to the NBA Players Union or went to the commissioner's office and said, hey, listen,
Trav,
I'm going to tell you what happened to me.
Trav, Elgin Baylor, when he got fired, did exactly that. Nobody did anything. Elgin Baylor, who's in the Hall of Fame, said, this man doesn't pay coaches that he fires.
But
he didn't pay me. He's a racist. He treats us with a plantation mentality. And everybody ignored
and
Elgin.
And the league
okay,
said,
put
bring
that
me
on
a smoking
timeline,
gun.
Though. When did the Elgin Baylor thing come? Was it before or after he got the team stripped from him?
It was before.
Before. Way before.
Definitely
way
before.
Before.
He
yeah.
fired him.
So why didn't the league do anything then? Elgin Baylor told this. Why didn't
is
we
the
go
response,
after Donald
because
Sterling
David
in a bigger
Stern
way?
Works for Donald
but
Sterling.
Why didn't we go after Donald Sterling in a bigger
way. So Donald Sterling.
Oh, it's we were asleep.
David Stern's
the whole LA media.
David Stern's response to the complaints were, "Bring me a smoking gun." I mean,
or it was a poor reflection on the entire NBA. And
not if you clean it. Not if you start to clean it up.
Exclusive club, and nobody wants to say anything bad about one of the other
members. Was there another owner, or even just one other owner that was kind of like, hey, "He's all right," or the other teams the like, "This guy's a menace."
The one person that stood up against throwing him out of the league, even though he eventually came around, was Mark Cuban. And Mark's point was, look, we need to be very careful throwing an owner out of the league for doing something we don't like. This needs to be legal. We need to have grounds to dismiss him. And they didn't. They couldn't prove it until they got the tape. And when they got the tape and he said, why do you have to be around black people? Why do you bring black people to my games?
Yeah.
Then you knew he was done. The second I heard that tape on TMZ.
Oh, it's over.
I knew he was done. I just didn't know how they would execute.
How long it was going to take.
And you know who pulled it off? Was Shelley. Shelley, she was brilliant. She went to two different doctors and had him, they determined that he was mentally incapacitated, and she sold the team out from under him. He said, I'll sue.
That's
for,
right.
Remember, he was yelling at her in court, pig, get away from me.
Yeah.
And she goes, see?
Yeah.
By the way, the actress that played Jackie Weaver
she's
is
awesome.
A great
she's
actress
terrific.
To play Shelley.
Do you guys watch Billions?
Yeah.
I don't.
You? Mm-hmm. So did you recognize who Andy Roser was? It's hard because he had hair. Bill.
Oh,
Kelly
yeah,
Aucoin
that's
is,
right.
Is Andy Roser.
That's right.
In that.
Not the guy from The Americans.
Is what, Kelly Aucoin in The Americans?
Yeah,
Kelly
he's the preacher in The Americans.
He plays.
That's right, he is.
He plays Andy Roser
that's him?
On Clip.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. I can't wait for it. June 4th is the premiere of Clipped. It's going to be awesome. Super Crosstalk brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about.